podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, there we go. 0-0 at Goodison Park. Everton 0, Villa 0. Really even game. Don't really think either side will be able to argue with a draw being further. They had some good chances and we had some good chances. Not loads of quality, really. But some really good moves from Everton in the game, I think. Some excellent performances individually. They dug in when they had to. And I think that's a really good point against the team that, you know, being honest, probably going to be playing Champions League football next season. Could have gone second in the league with that, so got to put it all in perspective. And he really dug in there. Dom's chance, obviously, at the end of the first half was massive. If he sticks that away, who knows? But the second half, he had a few big tackles, last his defending as well. They were probably the best side just the second half. They were probably the best side in the first half. But loads of good displays. Well, Tarkowski was absolutely magnificent. Some thunderous tackles. One which, I mean, he got booked for one which wasn't even given as a foul. I don't really know what happens there. But other players coming over now. And Scarpering off is absolutely pissing down. So I'll do similar and get back to the pub. Jared Brown, please just give a share to a young lad, which is lovely. Yeah, I thought we may have nicked it with that Decore, disallowed goal at the end as well, but you know, they're so good playing the high line, you're never quite sure with Villa, but we'll see. I'm doing hard, it's just saying his farewell. Probably not farewell to Everton, but farewell's when he leaves the pitch. He was really good today as well, had an excellent game. I'll be back shortly to go through that in more detail in the boozer. Yeah, we are back in the Demi Castle. Just interrupted Dave Downey and Emma Kosh having a really in-depth chat about cat hotels. Probably says a lot about the game today.
Who was the original purchase? Mark Mosey, by the way. You can say that about him first because he's not on it. And you were talking, that's where he had to go this evening.
Mark, if you're listening, I hope your cat sitting appointment goes well. joking about that and the game. I've got Ed, Dave and Matt Flusk with me. Ed, I'll come to you first, mate. I'm happy with that. I think the lads dug in. I think they played really well in spells and they withheld a team that could have gone second in the table if they come there and won today, and a team that have been talked about so highly this season, and probably won't take a point before the game, so can't necessarily sit here right now and be annoyed that we didn't win it, even though we could have won it.
Absolutely. I think if you look at it on paper, you certainly look at the quality of that Villa side, that's exactly the sort of game where in the past we've been ripped apart. And we kept some extremely good players very quiet today. Ollie Watkins, I thought, was stifled. I thought Moussa Diaby was terrible because he couldn't get into the game. A number of players there who have really caused problems to pretty much every team in the league, and we dealt with them well. So it's a good point overall, and it's nice that we can be disappointed. I think on the flip side, we do need to remember where we are in the league. Yes. It's still a little bit worrying, just picking up the point here and there, not getting the goals. But I really don't want to keep saying this. We keep playing like that, we'll be fine. There's only so long we can say that, but for now, I'm going to bang that drum again. We were good.
I was going to say, if you think about what Ed just said there, that's an excellent point, because you keep repeating that sort of cliche that we've got now. We need to do that against the lesser sides, obviously. If you're picking up a point at home to the side that could have gone top of the Premier League today, or the same amount of points as the top of the league side, you'd be thinking, yeah, I'd absolutely take that right now. You'd pay money not to get beat by that side, because everything is a boost with that. The other side of things that we had a quick chat about just before we start, I mean, I personally, and I know you're going to think differently, I thought it was a terrible game that suited us more to get a result out of it than if we were trying to do our best in it. First half, we barely got a kick of the ball. Second half, it was really competitive in terms of what we tried to do. Midfield wise, I think there was time for a change there. I thought Garner was okay, but given what Gomez has been like lately, I would have liked to have seen him on there against what Ed was saying there about Diaby for them, and you barely seen him. They put Tielemans on, he was crap as well. Just thinking that someone like Gomez in there, the touch of class, probably helps you get a ball forward to what Dan Juman actually did to Calvert-Lewin, and that's sort of the centre of the talking point we've got here to win the game, or at least score a goal, was that. And I think that epitomised everything we spoke about him in terms of not fully fit, maybe that's the wrong thing to say now, but also confidence. He goes through one-on-one with the keeper, and the effort he has on goal
is gone. Yeah.
Sorry, Dom, yeah, it was so weak. Ball to him was fantastic, just brilliant. But yeah, I mean, if someone paused that before you seen it happen and you had to decide, you have to put a bet on, is he going to score or not? You'd say he's not going to score.
Yeah, that Dom chance. Like, in the moment, I thought it was a really good save with the feet by the goalie. And then when I watched it, like, on my phone at half time, I was like, wow, he's hit it right down the middle. Like you said before, Matt, he's tried to give him the eyes. He thought he could slot it between his legs. And he's not FIFA goalie of the year for no reason. Like, he's seen it coming, and it's just come off one thigh onto the other. I thought the follow-up save after that was absolutely outstanding. And that was kind of the story of the game. Like, Pickford had a couple of good saves. We had very good, like, defensive play. We just kind of cancelled each other out, to be honest. And it wasn't... I don't think it was a terrible game. Like, there were moments, but it felt very 2 o'clock kickoff Sunday. It was just a bit flat. The atmosphere was a bit flat. We had our couple of moments, but overall, it's not a game I would have said I'd take a point going into it, because any home game, we should be having a go and trying to get three. But when all said and done, the dust has settled. It's another clean sheet. It's a 0-0 draw against a very good side who ripped us to absolute shreds at their place in the league. So,
yes. Yeah.
You've got to say it looks like improvements, and they should be taking that forward now into Wednesday and the next league game, whenever that is, in about 25 months.
Yeah, but they're absolutely giving everything, aren't they, at the moment? Like, you know, they are leaving everything else on the pitch, and I think today you could sort of see that while we weren't razor sharp, like, that wasn't a Wolves where everyone looked absolutely fucked and, you know, they just passed around. It was like there was a lot more snap, a lot more bite about the way we went about it today. And I enjoyed the game in spells, but it was one of them where I just kind of thought, like, every time one team started to build a bit of momentum, like, something would happen to like, completely stop that momentum. Like, and the example I can use for us, it was after Tarkowski got booked. I mean, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, for some reason which nobody knows. And then I think Tielemans hacked down Harrison, was it, in the corner, and we got a free kick, and like the whole crowd was up, like the place was bouncing. Everyone was like ready for us to score a goal, and then McNeil crosses the ball and it goes straight to Martinez's hand, and it's like, oh. And it just felt like that happened all day, like, for both sides. Like, you know, they did it, like, they were putting pressure on us in the second half. I was like, they're building pressure up here, and then one of their midfielders just like knocked a square out of play for a throw into us, and like their momentum went. It just felt like that was happening all game.
Yeah, that McNeil cross, I called that in real time. I turned to the fella sat next to me and I said, like, I don't know why we've put a left footer on this from that side. It's like, it's just going to go straight into the goalie's hands. And I just went straight in. I just looked at him and just started laughing. It's like, we should have had, like, Harrison at least have a right footer on that side. Like, float, you know, sort of swings back out again. Someone gets ahead on it. But it's just little moments like that, just little fine margins that we're not quite hitting at the moment. And, like, especially Dan Juma down the right, his decision making is 99 times out of 100 abysmal for me. The only good one was the pass for Calvert-Lewin for the chance. But like, he had one where I think he won a corner off it in the end. But you could just see him, like, he's running in. He's got the perfect chance just to cut it across the box. It could be a stuffy pinball and a deflection. And he's gone for goal again, and it's gone out for a corner. It's like, we're not going to get that many chances to get forward against a team like Aston Villa. They've got to be every single moment they've got to be very sharp and they've got to be on it. And I just thought, especially towards the end of the game, like we'll probably talk about Onana's couple of passes and chances, it just felt like it was rushed and like kind of snatching at things. And maybe in the back of their minds they were thinking it's still 0-0, like we're not desperate to score here, but I just want to see a little bit more like ruthlessness in some of the balls and some of the shots that we have.
Yeah. Just on Calvert-Lewin then, Ed, just remember that actually, that his goal against Villa away in the cup, he does exactly the same thing as what he tried to do today, didn't he? I think it's Olsen in goal that night, and he gives him the eyes and just passes it in the corner, like he's running through on goal. It's literally the same moment, but it's just not going for him at the moment, is it? Like I thought he actually started the game really well, won a few headers, got hold of it, and then as soon as he missed that chance, he just seemed to just fade as a force. But I'm not looking at Beto either and thinking you've got to come in and start games either. So it's a bit of an issue for us now, isn't it?
I feel awful of him. First of all, I feel really, really bad for him. And you could see a moment just after he had the miss and after the ball had gone out for the corner, he was absolutely distraught on his haunches. And he's feeling it. We're annoyed at him, and we should be, for that chance specifically. Anyone who is employed to put balls into the back of net should be putting that ball into the back of that net. But he knows that as well, so we don't have to tell him. And I think a few people around me were a bit too vehement in telling him, which I didn't enjoy, but he will be feeling that. He'll be feeling awful. And it's a real bind that Dyche is in now, not just because of the Beto situation, whether he's a good replacement or not, but because either you've got to take Calvert-Lewin out the firing line for a bit and hope that he comes back feeling a bit better within himself, or you've got to keep giving him chances to get it right. Because Calvert-Lewin is a confidence player. This is not the first time in his Everton career that he's gone a long period without scoring and has missed good chances. I'm sure I recall a game at Villa Park where he missed a couple of absolute sitters.
That was the beat Villa we go top game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we were saying, sorry everyone. But we were saying the same thing about him then, so it's not a new conversation. And this is the thing that has kept him from being in that top rung of strikers. That rung that Watkins has got himself into in more recent times.
Kept him at Everton.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. He's very much endemic of the team, really. There's talent in there, there's ability, there's work rate, but there is something missing. And that's what I'm worried about with Calvert-Lewin. But I'm not going to lose faith in him yet, because when you're a striker, and we talk about the old cliche of the ball going in off his arse, it might happen at some point, and if it does, potentially everything changes. So we've got to keep our fingers crossed for that, I think.
Yeah, I do have sympathy for him up to a certain extent there. Like, I mean, I'd said that to perfect effect, really. Other thing as well, it's gone back to a classic Everton where you've just got one striker there who you need to get somebody in and around, and that's Decore. Decore came in today. I was really excited to see him.
Quite rusty, wasn't he?
Sorry?
What do you quite rusty, Decore, today?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. And I was going to say, he felt like he was overly desperate to get involved wherever he could, not stay in the position you want him in there to link up with Calvert-Lewin and anyone in and around that position. And that's what it felt to me. It felt like an old school, you've got an Everton striker there who's no more than, who's going to be about 10, 15 yards away from any other Everton player there. And if that's the case, if that's how we're going, that's where we are going to be in a bit of trouble, if we're not creating chances like that. The one chance we created was that. We can't go into games where you're like, we're sitting here ruining that and saying, oh lads, just imagine that went in there, we'd have got a 1-0. We can't stay in that sort of mindset. And you mentioned before, we were talking, Matt, about Beto as well. He's not the change you want to make on the bench, is he, when you need a goal in a game? I think on the commentary, Alan Smith was commentating on Sky, and he went, I think it'd be really interesting to see both Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Beto up front together. And I couldn't, for a long time since he's come, I couldn't have think of anything worse. But you get to a point where you think, we've got to try something different out here. You know, we've got to do something different. And positive-wise, though, I think Harrison's probably one of his best games for us.
He was excellent today.
He was. I mean, as we've always said, the thing he always does is he throws everything into everything he does. It might not have that quality, but he was hit hard by Villa. Villa knew he was going to be the threat.
Do you know what,
and he threw a load of players over towards him.
I thought there were loads of, like, some of his first touches today were like ping crosses over to him, and like just bringing them out the sky. He's killed a lot of balls really flat, and he did really well. But just on other good performances, Matt. I thought Tarkowski was head and shoulders our best player today. Hilarious, apparently on Sky, that Roy Keane said he's a bit too enthusiastic in some of his tackling, which I found was mad. But I just thought he was absolutely colossal throughout today. Won everything, flung himself into everything, got the crowd going when he needed. Brilliant playing performance. He's been an amazing signing for us.
Yeah, the only thing that marred his game was the bucket, which absolutely baffling, just baffling. In the build-up to it, he's getting manhandled on the edge of the box. There's at least three fouls there. He's just waiting for the linesman to flag it. Nothing comes. So he thinks, right, fine then. And he does his trademark, big booming tackle, wins the ball clean and takes a couple of kneecaps with him. And then he just calmly gets up and walks away and all the Villa players start kicking off. And, there's some handbags going, but he's not actually involved in it.
He just beckons people over.
And then you've got this raffle winner of a referee who comes over and, ends up booking him for it. It was completely baffling, but he got right under the skin the whole game, didn't he? He had them on strings, and it's just a shame that we couldn't have got the 3 points to go with it, because I didn't see the official man of the match, but if it wasn't him, I'd be very surprised.
I didn't see you got man of the match on it. Personally, it's a good question to ask between us all, really. You predict, they said I'd say Tarkowski far and ahead of everybody else on there. But it was interesting that you guys wouldn't have seen this, but when Villa scored and the offside comes in, did you see what happened, or have you heard what happened?
Dan Juma got shoved over, didn't he?
Not that, on the telly they went to footage to watch the fellas at Stockley Park judging it. It was amazing. I sat there looking, and they only waited 3 or 4 minutes when you guys were watching it. I sat there, and you seen Paul Tierney.
Haven't they all got refereeing kits on?
Honestly, that's it. It's like going to school or something. Is there a footy kit?
Were we waiting for them to finish their bag of crisps or something?
It was obviously offside, wasn't it?
I don't think it was obvious. When I saw it, the first two times I seen the replay, I thought, there's no way this isn't getting given. But it looks like they give it on for two reasons. Whoever it was on the, as you look, the right-hand side, him, there. Sorry, I'm saying this on the podcast. But also, the guy that was in the middle in front of Pickford, when that lad, by the way, it's a wonderful strike. Yeah. He's gutted that he doesn't score. But there's a lad that's slightly in front of Pickford, blocking his eye line. Right. I initially thought it was him, but it wasn't. It was, everyone will watch it today, on Match of the Day, whatever.
Dan June was kicking off that he got thrown to the floor. And that, I think he was worried that he was on the ground and therefore played everyone on side.
All in all, there's probably three different things there that you could probably say that's why that goal can't happen. By the way, that was it Moreno who scored the goal? Yeah. Or the goal that was disallowed? All game long, that lad was fuming. Absolutely fuming. And obviously, it's because of that goal not getting scored. But the other side of it, Matt, as well, when I said it's a crap game, it was a proper old-fashioned game in terms of there was proper scraps in there. There wasn't too many were throwing themselves on the floor. I mentioned Mykolenko there, just gets up and his head's been all over the place.
He makes an amazing block, doesn't he, right at the end as well. Tarkowski just epitomise what we're all about today.
He's very Everton, isn't he? He's just very Everton. I thought it was a great signing when we got him, and I think that's been proved.
It was free, wasn't he?
Yeah, free. Yeah, absolutely. And he puts everything into every game. But he's a smart defender as well. He's not massive. He's not slow, but he's not massively quick. But he always gets himself in a good position. And if he's not in a good position, he's more than happy to throw his body in the way. Personally, I think man of the match for me was Harrison. I think some good points have been made. And one thing he did brilliantly today, which is a real basic for attacking players, but we do sorely miss, is he moved the ball forwards. He took the ball with him and progressed, which is great. Took us from the halfway line into attacking positions quite a number of times, which is great. But Tarkowski, he deserves his flowers. He's been really, really good. And he's marshalling Branthwaite next to him as well. Branthwaite's learned a lot. I think he's so unflappable, Jared Branthwaite. There are a few times where Villa players were sort of getting up at him and having a chat with him. He just walked away, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. So between the two of them, it's so nice to have a bedrock. And with Mykolenko as well, the right back position is still in the balance. But
Coleman had a good game.
He was okay. Obviously, not able to progress as quickly as he once did. I think that held him back. But it's a couple of nil-nils in a row now, which is a precious commodity for Everton. I think we ought to celebrate that. It was good.
Yeah, I had two lads behind me who were calling Coleman for everything the whole game, but it was very clear, especially in the first half. Villa targeted our right side, and they could see that Harrison wasn't dropping back too much. He was leaving Coleman exposed quite a bit, but obviously Coleman's got that wise head on the shoulders now. More often than not, he put it out for a throw-in. They didn't get the better of him too many times, so, considering they were like doubling up on him. I'd say the only real failing down that side, or probably the other side, was the corners. It was so obvious every single time they had the corner what they were going to do, and everyone screaming, like, bring a man forward, bring a man forward.
That's where their disallowed goal came from, wasn't it?
Yeah, eventually, yeah, it did, yeah. Like, they just had the two players, and either he'd just flick it behind him and Bailey'd run off, or they'd just knock it to John McGinn. And on another day, when they're sharper, they would have punished us and beat us 3-4-0 there with those corners. Well, thankfully, it didn't happen that way. But overall, I think Holman's game is absolutely fine, and... yeah, long may it continue. He got his nice little banner on the... I've only just seen it then.
I didn't see that.
Because it was, like, right in front of me. It's a really nice banner.
Describe it for the listeners.
it says, like, 15 years of Seamus. Decore's actually tweeted it out. It's fine.
I can see it pretty well from the park. And the sun came out at the exact moment it unfurled as well. Very poetic.
No, it looks lovely in the sun, yeah.
Magnificent mark, yeah.
It's a really, really good likeness of him with like a wreath around it, and then yeah, 15 years of Seamus, and very nice letters with I think those are Irish flags either side. It's either that or Ivory Coast. It's hard to tell which is which.
Paying tribute to the AFCON going on at the moment in Ivory Coast.
How come he's back
here? Just throwing in a little Aruna Kone tribute at the same time.
No, I'm being facetious. It is the Irish flag because the green's on the left. Yeah. But yeah,
and the best thing about it, he's gone one game above Tim Howard, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Which is the best news ever because he's a Bellend.
Like, it's just I think Coleman as well. Like, I think we sort of take for granted like quite a lot, like that he's hardly played the season, has he? And like for a long time we've been like, oh, we can't wait for him to come back. But we're talking about a lad here who's like 35, 36. He's had two or three really serious injuries in his career. It's hard playing as a fullback in the Premier League now. Again, you know, look at Bailey and Diaby today, like they are like rocket ships, aren't they, as footballers? They are so fast, and he just like to be able to just come in, Dave, and just like hit the ground running straight away, and like not be amazing, but like you think about players from other teams, you'd think like 35 years old, been out for months, back in the team, get after them.
Yeah, we've got one of them, Ashley Young.
but like the fact that he can just hit that level straight away, it's a huge testament to him, and like probably doesn't get spoken about enough.
No, you're right, he doesn't. I think that's a sign of players who've been really good for us, is they don't get spoken about enough in a funny way. The way in which he played today as well, so disciplined in what he did. He did the right thing when he's getting up there with Harrison. He's trying to play that little overlap. He does it. He's done it his whole career. Didn't get it knocked back to him a few times for whatever reasons. Coming back the other way, though, didn't think he put a foot wrong. And Villa, obviously, I think when Emery's talking to them about this game, he'll be saying, let's get over there, get our quick play, like Bailey over there, get our quick players over there, and look like you overlap this lad all the time. Didn't see. I seen it once or twice where they got to the byline and put a cross in. Other than that, mate, you wouldn't know he was the age he is. Yeah. And I think that's the sort of best testament to play to him. He looked like he's a lad who could just go on for years and years and years. Just doesn't look like... He's the type of lad, the way he is. We know a lot about the personality and how he talks and why he's the captain. He's the type of lad, I think he's pretty desperate not to retire.
Yeah.
Someone will have to tell him, you can no longer play in this time, in this squad, you're no longer the captain, for him to not play football anymore. And I just, if any of the rest of them had the mentality he's had for 15 years, Everton wouldn't be in anywhere near a position of a relegation fight, regardless of when it comes.
Exactly. Absolutely right. And I just wanted to say, I think, I'm not going to say we should enjoy him or anything quite that cliche, but we're not going to have a Seamus Coleman again. The way football is now, And the way that we are as a club, and the way that, you know, any player who excels is going to have to move on for the money. We're not going to have someone again who's around for 15 years providing a lot of quality. And as you say, Dave, being in his mid to late 30s and still being able to come out and produce in the Premier League. So he's somehow become an anachronism. When obviously at the start of his career, there were all sorts of players like that. But you just don't get it now. And I think it's really special that we've got someone like him. And he'll be revered. He doesn't want to be thought of as a legend because he hasn't won anything. I think a lot of people will feel the same way. But in any case, he's someone to cherish because he's given us everything, and he's going to get into his 40s and 50s and not be able to walk because of everything.
They will have to drag him off the pitch, literally have to drag him off the pitch and say, there's your pension, mate, you can't play for us anymore. I also think as a right back, he doesn't ever seem to me as a conventional one like that. He seems a right back to me, he always makes his own decisions really, and he's not, obviously he's had an instruction from whatever manager he's got, but I don't look at him and think, right, he's so intelligent at that position. He knows what he needs to do on that side. And what we always said about him, if you could cross a ball, mate, probably wouldn't be in Everton anymore if you could cross a ball properly.
But I also think, like, back to the start of his career, and like when
Blackburn.
He played, like, what he played Benfica, didn't he, in that game? And I was like, I remember early on, Moyes played him right mid, didn't he? Because every time we watched him, I was like, this lad's great going forward, but like, my God, defensively, he is really hopeless. And I think the fact he's been able to adapt his game now to the point where it's like, that is his game, isn't it? It's shutting down wingers and being positionally sensible. Like, you think about the way in which he's changed his game and adapted. Like, that's huge credit to him and his intelligence as a player. Just before you wrap
up. You've interviewed him, by the way, haven't you, Matt?
Yeah, once, yeah. I asked him, like, does he feel like a scouser now? He's lived here, that was 10 years, but he's been here 15 now. So, just before we wrap up, just one gripe for me today, Matt. I think when Beto came off the bench, I was just so disappointed in him. I've never really fully thought he was that good, but off the bench today, even the running round, the pressing, the hassling, it just wasn't there at all. And I just wonder. And I know there's going to be a lot of calls for Dom to come off the team now after what happened and the chance he's missed recently, but I don't look at that fella and think necessarily he's definitely the answer. And I just think today, when we were under a bit of pressure, we need someone to come on and be a menace. Like, being brutally honest, he looked like a lad to me who thought, I'm going to play 3 games now after that red card, and it's been rescinded, and he was sulking a little bit.
That's an interesting take. I hadn't actually considered that. Yeah, he does certain things really well, and he didn't do any of those things well today.
What does he do well?
Well, like, he can put his back to defenders. Like, he can allow players to run on alongside him. He's just a pest. Whenever he has the ball at his feet, he's a pest to centre halves because, you know, I'm either going to have to let this fella just walk past me or foul him and potentially get yellow or red cards. But he was just giving away cheap fouls. He wasn't pressuring. He wasn't pressuring the goalie, which we've done all game quite well, because Martinez was perfectly happy to have the ball at his feet, wait for us to come to him, little sideways pass. And towards the end, I mean, what was it you said in the car? Our possession for the whole game was less, like 30-something. For that last 10 minutes, I reckon it must have been about 10%, because they just passed it along the back with no pressure on them at all. So, yeah, I didn't think about the sulking thing. I wouldn't really think
that. He definitely sulked today. Ed's shaking his head. He was definitely in a mood today about something.
Ed thinks, but I didn't get that vibe. I just thought it was just a clumsy performance in, you know, cold weather and everything. He's come off the bench. Everyone's a bit flat. I don't know. What do you think, Ed?
Ed, just before you start, there was a really, really funny moment. Don't know if you guys got onto it. He dropped deep to round about where the bench is, and someone played him at like a diagonal. I think it might have been Colbert who plays him a diagonal, like 40, 50-yard ball. And he plucks it from the air. And I think you just hear this, like, everyone around that part of the pitch was just like was shocked at the time. You know when it goes close when you're watching it on Sky and you see all the family and close people behind it, the faces on some people's, like, they were just amazed by the fact they just pulled this out of the air. And you know, I'm in between what you guys said there. I think, like, Ed did this, and I'm not blowing him out for this, but as soon as you mention his name and I'm included, there's a smile or there's a laugh or there's I can't believe we've got him sort of image on people's heads there. I think that's harsh on him, but you can see why. You can see why, you know, when he comes on the pitch, the first thing, like Matt said there, that you come into is he's strong, he'll hold the ball up, he'll either be given a free kick or concede one. He's not built to be a Premier League striker. So we've seen so far, you know, you hope he clicks on at some point, but you wouldn't go through that, you know, cliche picture and say he'll come good at some time. I don't see where that happens.
Alright, okay, as you know, Matt, you know I'm a better apologist, so let's just move that aside. I'm not having the pop psychology. I do not believe he was in a huff
He was definitely sulking today.
He definitely was not at his best today. We've all had bad days at the office. I think he was ineffectual today and he didn't do what he can do. I don't think it means that he's upset he didn't get three. He's probably delighted that his teammates around to play. He just didn't. He didn't do well today. And everything he did, he had his back to goal and he was on the halfway line. I wouldn't be too happy as a striker in that situation either. So hopefully against Spurs, who we have got on the TV behind us and who do look very open still. And teams like that. Who've we got coming? We got Spurs coming up soon.
Palace.
We've got Palace away. Palace is going to be difficult, I think, for a player like him. But certainly against Spurs, the team that plays up. Andy Johnson was around the Denby, obviously, this week. And that's a striker who Beto could learn from. Using a bit of pace to get in behind. There's a blueprint there. I like to think that Beto can come good. I'm not willing to say that he's
not. I mean, I'm not writing him off either, by the way. I just thought today, like, when he usually comes on, there's always that, like, intensity and, like, he runs after everything, doesn't he? And, like, sometimes it's a bit mad and it doesn't really work, but he chases after everything and he's passionate and he's enthusiastic. And today he just looked like, after 5 minutes when he came on and the ball got passed around him a few times, he was like, the arms were coming up and, like, his chin on his chest, and, like, he just looked in a mood all the whole time he was on.
And like, the same issue as Calvert-Lewin, though. It was just what I was explaining. If you don't get anyone in around him, the mentality of Calvert-Lewin obviously is a lot better than what we've seen from Beto.
But surely he should be thinking,
oh, he should.
My rival is playing absolutely terribly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to come on and show here. Like, even if I don't get much of the ball, I'm going to show that I'm going to run after everything, yeah, chase everything. And it was like the total opposite when he came on.
There was a notable difference between what we've seen from him so far to today. Look, none of us could tell why that's going to happen, but he's a lad when I've seen him come on. The very, very least you get from a player, you might well write off immediately. A player, like you said, then who you would continue. You're not willing to write him off yet. At the very least, he's somebody who comes on and runs his bollocks off, and I agree with you, that didn't happen today.
All right, I'll pitch him one more time. There's a chance that...
You got his name on the back of your shirt.
There's a pretty good chance he's been instructed not to go around like a mad idiot. Like, he's wasting a lot of energy. He's got to be on for half an hour of that game. There's no point chasing right to left to right to left, because Villa were playing out from the back and he would have been on his own. I don't believe it. It's entirely because he's in a hole. I'm not going to turn around and say he's a brilliant striker. And he hasn't really shown a huge amount yet, but we seem pretty desperate to assume that players are unhappy he just didn't do very well.
I just thought it was noticeable today, and again, might be reading too much into this, but I just thought it was noticeable today how he was in his body language and in the way he acted compared to every other time I've seen him in an Everton shirt. Like, even when he's come on and we've been getting levered, he's always, like, ran around, put pressure on, like, been really enthusiastic, and, like, it just wasn't. I don't know why. Maybe he's had a shit week. Maybe something's going on at home. I don't know. Like, but it just wasn't there today.
I just think maybe the fact that Villa played with a very high line might have stifled him a bit, and it wasn't the best
game, isn't it? Like, the best change. That's meant to be what he's all about, isn't it? Like, running in behind and getting onto things. I don't know. Like, I just think
we play a system that is fantastic for fullbacks and wide players, and it's not good for central midfielders and not good for centre forwards, because ultimately we've got central midfielders who are watching the ball go over their head, and we've got strikers who are on their own flicking the ball onto no one, like Dave said.
I think that's a nasty stereotype for Sean Dyche.
It's not a stereotype. Look how many goals Abdoulaye Doucouré scored. He doesn't score from long balls.
He's basically a striker, though, isn't he? No?
Yeah, but we're not hoofing it up to him, are we?
I didn't say we're just hoofing it up. It's a system that does not work to his strengths. And honestly, the sort of ball that Dan Juma played for Calvert-Lewin, did Beto have any of those today? Because I didn't see them.
No, he didn't.
He would have loved one of those, I'm sure. So there's stuff to work on. I'm not saying that, you know, Beto could be doing more himself, but I still think there's more we could be doing for our strikers.
I've said it early on since he came, right? He'll score a goal like Paolo Wanchope did. He will score one of those goals where he picks it up and just runs around about 60.
Like Beckford against Chelsea, like loads of deflections and bumbling through.
Yeah. Just runs it in and bags it, and that's what he'll do. He's the type of player that'll get us a crucial goal at a crucial time, and we all turn around and say, I fucking love Beto.
I really like it.
Look at the face. It's always that face.
Obviously, I like. His attitude has been great up until this point, but I just thought, like, you are in a mood about something.
Where's Shimizu as well, by the way? Is he going to get
it? I mean, he must be terrible, mustn't he? But, like.
He's hibernating till the sun comes back out.
He's in the park having a game now with his mates, isn't he?
Maybe he's still on a plug this morning, better. It's one of them days for him. You know, we've all been there. Listen, but positive overall, that we got a point there today, and that's a really good performance, really good point. We can go into that replay now against Palace and smash them, hopefully, after what happened
don't
the other week.
Start asking that question.
Oh, God. Who's the referee for that? I hope it's not the same dickhead as last week.
What's that then if we win? Bolton or Luton?
Bolton or Luton,
at home.
The Denby Derby, is it, Matt?
Denby Derby, yeah. If we get
in the
Bolton.
Last 16.
Yeah. There we go. We'll be back. Me and you back for Blue Monday tomorrow, Dave.
Loads to chat about,
yeah. I'm sure we'll get some reactions from this. Let us know your thoughts tonight when we spoke about there. Cheers to Matt and Ed as well. Up the toppies. We'll speak to you again very soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.